Tonight we're going to be looking at a message dealing with the prodigal. And when I think about a prodigal, now you all are turning to Luke. Don't turn to Luke. More than one prodigal in the scripture. But I think about the prodigal. It's interesting that the prodigal could trust the faithful, but the faithful cannot trust the prodigal. You know, it's kind of one way in this world, isn't it? And when I think about the prodigal son in Luke, I was considering him a while back and thought about what a blessing it must have been to him when he got back home and saw Dad had not sold out. That Dad had kept his faith. That Dad had stood strong in the Lord. And that Dad was there when he needed him. And that encouraged my heart that I always want to be faithful. I always want to be there when my wife needs me, my children needs me, my church members need me, the lost need a witness. We need to be faithful. We need to be there. And it means something. But we're not going to be looking at the prodigal son tonight. We're going to be looking at the prodigal nephew. The prodigal nephew. In Genesis, in chapter 19, there's a man by the name of Lot. He was also what we would consider a prodigal. And the title, if we give a title to this message, would be From Riches to Rags. Put a twist on that. From Riches to Rags, and it was an appropriate title for both of these young men. But we want to look at the life of Lot, and we want to look at it in reverse. We want to go from the end to the beginning and try to gather some thoughts together. And so we'll be in Genesis chapter 19 to begin with, in verses 30 through 38, and just look at the consequences of decisions that we make in our lives. In Genesis chapter 19, in verse 30, now please use your sanctified imagination. Okay? You're going to have to use your imaginations tonight. I hope you have one. So you're going to have to use it tonight. Verse 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in a mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. So we have three people here. We have a father and two daughters, and they're in a mountain area. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. That's an important statement. Too many times we read over this and we miss this. The mindset of these two ladies, the mindset of these two young ladies, they thought that they were the only ones there. Now imagine their father had taken them back up into the mountains, maybe back up into a cave coming out, and here you come just trudging up through there. Okay? You're going from point A to point B, and you decide, well, the quickest way to do is to go across these mountains. And so as you come to the top of this mountain, start to go down, there's a cave, and you see a fire outside, and you say, well, this must be someone around. And so you start yelling, hello, hello. And a man kind of peeks out from the cave. He's one of them two ladies. And they're kind of looking at you. And these two ladies, this man kind of steps out. These two ladies, each one has a baby. And they step out and they say, where did you come from? We thought we were the only ones left on earth. They did. That's what they said. They thought they were the only ones left on earth. Remember what they had seen. God sent fire and brimstone on five cities of the plain. He withheld judgment on one. Why? Because that's just the small one. And so here they are traveling across this plain, and if you can imagine hearing behind you what we would consider to be atomic weapons going off. Total and complete destruction, and it's rolling after you, and you are rushing trying to get into this small little village of Zoar looking for some protection. You're not looking back. So the only thing you know is that there is destruction, and it is total. And so we find these daughters and their father. They had made this decision, verse 32. They said, "Come, let us make our father drink wine," because they knew if he was not intoxicated, he would not carry out this act. "And we will lie with him that we may preserve seed in of our father." Now, I don't know what you think about these girls, but these were good girls. I don't know what you've heard in the past, but these were good girls. These were honorable girls who were simply trying to preserve humanity on earth. That's all they knew. I saw that they didn't know there was anybody else. They said, it's our job. There's no one else to do it. And so they got their father intoxicated, verse 33, and they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, "Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father." This was not lust. This was with a specific purpose of continuing the race on earth. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child of their father. As I looked at these verses, I thought about, first of all, their isolation. Lot had taken them up and he had isolated them. Isolation is a terrible thing. Being alone is a terrible thing. This is not God's will for us. God's will, when he looked at the man, throughout all the creation, he looked at man, everything was good except one thing. He said, "This is not good." What was it? A man should dwell alone. Being alone is not a good thing. The testimony of God tells us that. Lot had taken his daughters up there and he had isolated them from the world. What does God say to us? What does that say to us? The Lord has told us, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Why? Because we need fellowship. We need to be together. That's why you're here tonight. Because you need to be together. Why? It's dangerous to be alone. It is. Our mind starts to play tricks on us when we're alone. We begin to think about things. We don't have anyone to slap us. don't think that way. Don't say that. We don't have anyone to help us. And that's where they were. We find that isolation led them to irrational thinking. The Lord tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, says, "There's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And they had left love behind and were hiding in a mountain, fearful. And fear tormented them and made them do things that they would never have done. And fear can make us just as well do things that we never would consider doing. Isolation. We see isolation led to what? Intoxication. An illustration of life. People making wrong decisions that had their beginning in what was considered innocent flirtations with the world. That was Lot. His intoxication led him to do things that he never would have done while he was sober. We find God is not kidding when he says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. We find unwise decisions here. Because of isolation, because of intoxication, and because of these things, it led to an incestuous relationship that became a portrait of destruction. And it was all through wrong decisions. Wrong decisions. They said, the daughters looked at each other and said, there is not a man in the earth, and their father had led them to this. Their dad was responsible because of the decisions that he made. Their dad was responsible. Parents, we have a tremendous responsibility to make right decisions. Because we cannot even imagine today where our decisions of convenience will lead us to. Our decisions of dallying in the world, where they'll lead us to. We find that Lot had led them into this decision. Now this, look back in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 12. How did they get up there? What was going on that put them on the top of a mountain? In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 12, we know the incident, we know the account. Lot is in the city of Sodom. The angels have come. He has taken them into his home. We find here in verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou any here besides the angels? Son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because of the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons. We find here in these verses that he had a loss of testimony. He had no testimony in that city. Even among his family, those that were courting the daughters in his family, he had no believable testimony, no credibility, because of the decisions that he made in life. He had a loss of testimony. In verse 18, the angels are declaring for him to get out of the city. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. They say, go to the mountains. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. and I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. So here he's in the city. He says, I can't go to the mountain, but he went to the mountain anyway, didn't he? He went to the place that he said he couldn't get to. We see that he had no testimony in the city. He had no courage in the way. And because of having no testimony and no courage, he lost his wife. She also didn't believe in him. And one of the things that I have encouraged husbands for years is, men, you have to have, we have to have faith in God, and our wives have to have faith in God, but our wives have to have faith in our faith in God. If we are going to lead our families, our wives must have faith in our faith. They must trust us. They must believe us. When we say go this way, they must believe us. They must have faith that God is leading us. Lot didn't have that. He was leading his wife out of Sodom, and she didn't trust him. She didn't believe him any more than the sons-in-law. Maybe a little bit more because they dragged her out, but she still looked back. We find that because of the decisions that he had made in his life, he had no testimony, he had no courage, and now he had no wife. He was destroying his own family. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 5, we see the people of the city had come and they had gathered around his house. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Oh, what a terrible thing. Begging mercy from the wicked. He's supposed to be a man of God. He's supposed to be a man of faith. What a terrible place it is to come to our lives as men who are trusting God, and we end up begging for mercy from the wicked. No! Absolutely not. It's not right. We shouldn't seek mercy from the wicked. Who is our God? Our God is the Lord of lords and kings of kings. He's in control. But look at where Lot had gotten in his life because he made the decision to go into this city. We see his courage had already been broken down. And he's begging for mercy from the wicked people of the city. In verse 8, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. This is why I tell you these were two good girls. Because they were living in a wicked place. And all the time in this wicked place, their father obviously had really not a lot of control over them or consideration for them. And yet they kept their virtue. And absolutely, when we get to the most wicked place that we can think of, we talk about Sodom, right? It's Sodom. And here, these two girls had grown up in Sodom, and they had remained virtuous. And look at him, betraying them. Betraying them. We find him begging the wicked and betraying his family. They've not known a man. And because of this, he was beaten by his fellow citizens. The people that he wanted to associate with turned on him and beat him mercilessly. And if it had not been for the angels who reached outside the door and pulled him inside, they would have killed him because they did not care for them. We find that that's the way the world is. The world only cares for you as much as you can do something for the world. And when you become at odds with the world will destroy you. The world hated our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if we have a testimony for Him, they will hate us too. And He said, don't be surprised. And He also said, don't lose courage. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But we find Lot up on a mountain. How did he get there? It did not just happen. It was a series of events in his life. It was a series of decisions that he made as he led his family. We find in the Genesis in chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 in verse 23. A witness in ungodly surroundings. We find Abraham. He's praying to God to not destroy the city. And Abraham drew near and said, Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? God is saying, My nephew is there and his family is there, and surely they have reached out to some. Maybe there are 50, but then we think Abraham said, No, I know my nephew. How about 40? No, I don't think Lot's. How about 30? How about 20? Lord, how about 10? Surely Lot has been a witness to 10. Maybe his wife and his children and those close, maybe his neighbors. Abraham was begging. But you know, even though the scripture says that Lot was a righteous man and living in Sodom vexed his righteous soul day by day, it still doesn't mean he had a good testimony with his neighbors. It just simply meant that he didn't like it. He didn't like it, but he put up with it, didn't he? He put up with it. He did not have a testimony enough to see just a few more people trust God as their Savior. He knew what was right, but he was not willing to stand for it. There's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference. And it makes all the difference in the world. I think about Abraham. Abraham, they're begging God. And I think about another picture that came to my mind as I'm thinking, Abraham is concerned. Abraham cares. And Abraham is really begging God. I thought, why? Why is Abraham trying so hard? Well, in this case, I kind of think it's the same reason that the prodigal son's dad stood at the road and looked down at it every day. Because maybe Abraham and maybe the prodigal son's dad said, I knew him, I should have never let him go. I knew their character. I knew they couldn't handle this. And still, I did not accept my responsibility to tell them no. I did not tell them. I did not direct them. I did not demand from them. I didn't want to take a stand for the relative I brought with me. I didn't want to take a stand with the son. I knew he could not handle his money. But I gave it to him anyway. And I let him go. And I think that's really what drew the prodigal son's father to the road. And I think it's what drew Abraham's plea to God. I bet they wished they had never let these young men go out. They weren't ready. They weren't ready, but they didn't want to fight about it. They didn't want to take a stand. They didn't want to fight about it. Decisions. Decisions are important, aren't they? We find that Lot wasted his opportunities in that city. Over in Genesis chapter 14, we see the situation continuing. Genesis chapter 14, Lot is living in the city. We know that there was a war. Five kings came against the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, and they took them. And a report was made to Abram Abram in verse 12, chapter 14, verse 12, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Here we see in these verses that Abram was living in a secure place, wasn't he? He had trained servants. He was living in peace. But Lot moved over to Sodom. We find that he resided in the wrong place. We have to make sure we seek the direction of God, even in the place where we reside, where we're seeking to make our lives, our career. In verses 13 through 16, we see he had been taken captive, but now we see in these verses that even though he had been residing in the wrong place, he was rescued from war. Can you imagine the emotional upheaval in the life of Lot, that he and his family, he's moved them into the city is attacked, he is taken captive, and now they are being transported away from everything that they knew. They're captives. And they have no hope, and as far as he knows, they have no help. And then all of a sudden, here comes Uncle Abraham. Or is it the cavalry arrived? Okay. The bugle sounded. Abraham comes down. He rescues him. What a wonderful thing. What an amazing thing to happen. In verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. And so we find that Abram had conquered the enemy, was returning with all of the people. The king of Sodom comes and meets him. And here they are, and there's Lot, and Lot's wife, and Lot's children. And the most amazing thing ever happened. Lot went back to Sodom with a king who couldn't protect him. He went with a king who couldn't help him. He went with a king who couldn't provide for him. He went with a king that provided no security. Nothing. And yet Lot went back to Sodom. Why in the world didn't he go back with Uncle Abraham? Decisions. Decisions, we pay for them. Others pay for them. We find he returned to the wrong place. In chapter 13 of the book of Genesis, in verse 1 and 2, we see his family. And Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's his family. And so Lot is associated with a very powerful man, a godly man. Uncle is associated with him. This is his beginning. This is his beginning. He has an amazing family. And verse 5, we see in Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. He not only had an amazing family, he had an enormous wealth. So he had a wonderful family structure. He had all the wealth. He had more wealth than he could handle, literally. He had more than he could handle. In verse 8, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all that land." All that Abram had done for him. And he said, "You take the wilderness, and I'll go for the garden." We find his family, his fortune, and his failure. It began there with bad decisions. He had learned how to gain wealth, but he had never learned how to use it for God's glory. He never learned how to care for others. This is the momentous decision that began his spiral into degradation. Can you imagine, as you're sitting up in that mountain with this man and these two young ladies and these two babies, sitting around a fire listening to his story, and he's telling you, "Oh, I used to be wealthy. I used to have more than we could ever use. I had so much it was just running over with everyone else." And you'd say, "No way. No way." You say, "Say it ain't so." How did you get to here? It began with self-will. It began with turning his back on all that is good, and that is God, and looking to self and self only. And one bad decision after another. Why? Because he never did do what the prodigal son did. See, the prodigal son repented. And he went back to his father. And Lot never did. Although Abraham never moved. Abraham was always there. Abraham was only a messenger's distance away. Only a messenger's distance away. When Sodom was attacked, a messenger got away. Where did he go? He found his way to Abram, didn't he? Lot could have done that at any time. At any time, at any point in all this time, Lot could have run back to his uncle. But he did not. You know what? Jesus has never moved. He's never moved. As a matter of fact, he said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." But sometimes we get into a spiral, don't we? We have a tendency to start making bad decisions, and instead of going back to God, we fight against it. We keep saying, "I'll work it out. It'll get better. I'll just wait and see what happens." I love Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." What does that entail? That means I need to stay by my shepherd. I need to stay by my shepherd. I ask you tonight, if you're in a spiral, if you've been making decisions that are leading to bad decisions, that are leading to bad decisions, and you say it's too late, it's not. You can stop it now. You can turn back to the Lord because He's never gone away. He's just like Abraham. He's just like the prodigal's father. He said, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. I'm staying here. And I am here for you. I say, why are you preaching this message to the Wednesday night group? And I tell you, I don't have a clue. But God does. And so I leave it between you and Him. I leave it with you and Him tonight. Learn the lesson that Lot never did. Our lives do not just affect us. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And let's put Him first in our lives tonight. Pastor.